Hey everyone, and welcome to Sentinel Watch, where we look at life through a spiritual lens. I'm Jenny Sawyer. Today we're going to be talking about something that affects a large swath of our population worldwide: depression. In fact, the World Health Organization suggests that around 280 to 350 million individuals struggle with depression, and this makes it a major mental health crisis. As I mentioned, we talk about spirituality on this podcast. So, how can understanding your spiritual nature help you deal more effectively with depression? Today's guest, Rebecca Joy Clower from Westboro, Massachusetts, will walk us through what happened for her. Hey, Joy, welcome to the studio.
It's great to be here.
Well, I'm so excited to be talking today because this is such a relevant topic, mental health. And I think especially in the winter, it seems to be a topic that's really at the forefront of people's minds. And I know you had an experience specifically related to, was it depression?
Mm-hmm.
Tell us about what happened.
Sure. So I think I noticed probably in high school, I started feeling depressed a lot. And over many years, I worked through Christian Science, praying. And at different times, I contacted Christian Science practitioners who are individuals who are available to help others see their true identity as God's loved child and to help them see healing. But I never seemed to have a full resolution of it. So starting in college, I had had thoughts of suicide, and it had been sort of ongoing on and off at different times. But at that point, it was very intense. I was almost constant, these thoughts.
And how did you deal with that? I mean, you clearly didn't stay stuck in that place, but those thoughts can be really overwhelming.
Yeah. So one day when it was just so overwhelming, I didn't know what to do. I was in a situation where I was feeling very unloved and undervalued. And the issue with depression just became very intense. And I was feeling actually suicidal at the time. And I contacted a fellow Branch Church member who was not a Christian Science practitioner, but somebody who I trusted. And I reached out to him and I just told him what was going on. And he responded almost immediately. And he sent me actually an older edition of Sentinel Watch from 2017.
Oh, wow.
And it was about finding happiness. And it was really helpful. And I learned from that about what the meaning of redemption is.
Wait, let me just ask a quick question here. So take me back for a second to, you said you've been praying about this issue for a number of years.
Yeah.
Were there ideas along the way that were kind of giving you handholds and footholds to keep going? I mean, were there any ideas that kind of stuck out to you about God or who you were, anything like that?
I've always been interested in the idea of how we're one with God, all of us, and we have this connection with God that's so close, and God is love, and love is all, and we can feel that love, and I've always loved that idea that there's this presence of divine love in our lives, and I found that very helpful and comforting over the years.
Okay, and so then at this particular juncture, this fellow church member, I'm assuming obviously a Christian Scientist, had shared the Sentinel Watch with you, and the topic was happiness. How did we get from happiness to redemption? What was the connection between those two ideas?
So the guest in the episode talked a lot about redemption, and she explained, at least what I understood from it, that we don't have to do anything humanly to feel God's love, and we don't have to do anything to feel the grace of God. And that is what the meaning of redemption is. And I had never understood that. I had always thought if we were feeling something wrong or we were acting in an inappropriate way, we had to change our actions and then we would feel God's love. But it's actually God's love that brings that change.
That's really cool. Okay, so that was like a 180 for you, thinking it was up to you, to realizing that this love is, well, as you were talking about earlier, it's all, it's already here and we're one with it. And that is actually what facilitates change or redemption or anything like that.
Yeah.
So how did that help you in that moment when you were feeling unloved?
It was just a real shift. And the Branch Church member also shared with me, reminded me of a hymn in the Christian Science hymnal. I walk with love along the way is how it starts. And there's a line that says, the joy that none can take away is mine. I walk with love today. And I love that idea. And I was actually visiting New York. I was visiting with a friend in New York City at the time, and we were walking around, and I was just thinking about how I was walking with joy. And it was just a real shift in my thought. And we were somewhere, and we were at a museum, and something came to my thought, like, oh, I need to be unhappy about this situation and something that was going on. And I said, no, I walk with love along the way. Like, the joy that is mine can't be taken away. And it was just so clear. And I just felt a sense of joy that I had never felt before. This was not the full healing. It took about a few more months to really come to a full healing, but this was a major turning point. Yeah.
So after that moment, I love that it was just so practical, that here you are walking through New York and having this moment of feeling close to God, then feeling this kind of unhappiness come back, and really practically being able to say no to that. I think people might say, well, I have a really hard time when I feel unhappy, because it doesn't feel like a thought. It feels like a feeling. How is it for you that you were kind of able to be so firm and just immediately shut that down?
Mm-hmm. I think it might go back to what I was saying earlier about our oneness with God. Mm-hmm. And, you know, as we're one with God, we can only receive the thoughts from God, because God is, as we think about in Christian Science, God is mind. So there's only one mind. Mm-hmm. And so anything that comes to us that is not from that one mind, it's a thought that I think of it as an imposition. It's a suggestion that we can say no to, and it's not part of us. And I think I was just feeling that so clearly that, you know.
It was natural.
Yeah.
That's such an important distinction, I think, that we have agency to choose what thoughts we're accepting. And, you know, that actually has that wonderful biblical foundation in Genesis 1 in the Bible, where it talks about that each of us are given this quality of dominion from God. Mm. And I've often thought about that for myself, that in those moments when it feels, I mean, for me, harder perhaps to choose between the thoughts than it was for you in that moment, that I have that dominion from God to make the right choice. Did you find in your experience that it kind of built up a little bit of a head of steam, that like as you did that, it was easier to say no to mm-hmm. the challenging thoughts?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it in a way, it sort of supercharged my practice of Christian Science.
That's cool. Yeah. Say more about that.
Yeah, so I really kind of went from there and was just every day I was really focused on correcting things that I was seeing that weren't quite in line with real creation, with what God creates, and weren't in line with what is true for all of us. And so just being very vigilant about that going forward in my work and in my family life. And I found that the practice of that became more natural and it was easier to do. And I think at some point I just realized I wasn't depressed anymore, because it was just so like, I was so focused on what was good and true.
Wow. When you talk about true creation, mm-hmm. what does that mean?
To me, that is the creation. God is the creator and the only creator. And so this idea that there's this mortal universe with people that don't get along or issues is just a little bit of a dream. It is a dream. It's a trick. And it's a very basic metaphor, but I like to think of God as the sun, and everyone knows the rays of light coming out from the sun. And so we all have this unique connection with God. And that's what I think of when I think of real creation.
Mm. So do you think during this time, as you were having your practice supercharged and, you know, finding that it was more natural to agree with the good thoughts from God and disagree with thoughts that were leading you in a negative direction, did you sort of move away from feeling like external circumstances were determining your happiness? Or, because I know for a lot of people, I mean, depression doesn't always have an inciting incident. Sometimes people just feel depressed. But other times it can be situational, where it's like something really bad happens and then people kind of sink as a result. And it sounds like at least part of what was going on for you initially was you were feeling really unloved, as you were talking about, and that kind of like exacerbated these feelings. Did you find that either that situation changed or it just was less kind of relevant to how you were feeling anymore?
I actually left the situation. It just felt like the right thing to do.
Okay.
But that alone didn't solve the problem. It just gave me more space to really focus on what was true.
Interesting.
And okay. I just took some time and at home to just be praying a lot. And I took a quote from Miscellaneous Writings by Mary Baker Eddy, and I posted it up on my desk, and I just used this as my guide. She writes, "I learned long ago that the world could neither deprive me of something nor give me anything. And I have now one ambition and one joy. And I just love that
wow.
quote.
Yeah. So how did that in particular take you forward? How is that kind of like a North Star for you?
Yeah, I was just throwing myself into the arms of love in a way. I just was trying to be very humble and listen to what I needed to know to feel fully loved and to feel worthy again. Mm-hmm. And one of the things that I learned during this time, it was about 6 months, was that I needed to love others who had been involved in the situation I mentioned earlier. And it took a lot of humility to realize that. I realized that the like sense of being left out was actually in my own thought, and it wasn't because of somebody else. And so that's why I had to love and see others as they truly are, which is the sons and daughters of God. And once I saw that, the resentment kind of faded away. I didn't feel it anymore. It was kind of, it was again like a 180. And I no longer thought of my worthiness as coming from another person, but from God.
That's a huge shift.
Yeah.
Because I do think that for all of us, it can feel like our lives a little bit rise and fall based on, again, what other people are thinking about us or how well we're performing in a particular situation. I don't know if you're going to be able to put this into words, but I wonder what that change felt like internally. Did you feel more at peace? Did you feel more confident? Like, how did that express itself for you?
Yeah, I felt like for maybe the first time ever, the sort of like internal well of joy and peace that I had never felt before. And it was just something like, even if I had a challenging situation come up or a difficult, disappointing situation, I felt like I always had this like bedrock of joy and peace that was there. And it was part of me. And one thing I learned like a little bit earlier than this time, but one thing that had struck me was that joy is a quality of God. And just like peace or, you know, love or harmony, all of these qualities are natural to us and they're eternal. And it's right to feel them. And so I was like, it's right to feel joy. This is a natural quality. Mm. And but I really felt it then. You know, like I knew it sort of intellectually previously, but then I now really feel it. And it's just been so wonderful to like know that that sense of joy comes from God, and so it can't be taken away.
You must feel then very certain that this healing is forever, that it's not kind of like you were doing better for a while, you were doing worse. I mean, it sounds like that was more of a pattern over the course of your life, but now we're like done with depression.
Yeah, it's been a couple of years.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So I know for a lot of people, unfortunately, with mental health issues, these things can continue over a period of time, including years, and it seems like that was the case for you. That sounds pretty discouraging, and I'm really interested in the fact that you chose to keep praying about it rather than seeking another way of dealing with it. Why was it that you continued working on it through Christian Science?
Yeah, that's a great question. I have had a lot of proofs in my life of healing through Christian Science. And during that time, I had, you know, many healings in Christian Science for different things. And so those healings and just sort of bolstered my trust and helped me know that this could be healed as well.
Mm. This might sound like a funny follow-up, but I think a lot of times when someone's feeling depressed, the last thing that they have is hope.
Mm.
Did you have hope that it would actually be healed at some point?
Well, at one time I said to myself, this is never going to be healed. I'm going to have to live with it the rest of my life.
Okay. yeah.
But, you know, during that time that I was mentioning where things were very intense, I was also kind of doing some self-destructive behaviors and things like that. And, you know, I thought, oh, you know, I can read the Bible and help myself. And no, I don't want to do that. Like, I don't want this, you know? And I was like, no, it's not going to hurt to read the Bible. And so I just kind of had this debate with myself and like, okay. And at that time I was reminded of Psalm 139, and there's a beautiful hymn rendition of it in the Christian Science hymnal. And it says, whither shall I go from thy spirit, or whither shall I flee from thy presence? So we can't get away from God, really, we can't. And it says, if I ascend up into heaven, thou art there. If I make my bed in hell, behold, thou art there. So I just loved that. And I just had the hymn version of that psalm just playing in my head constantly. And it was just so comforting. And yeah, it was very helpful. And so I did feel some of that resistance, like, I don't want to do this. But, you know, I found it when I do turn to what's written in the Bible and science and health. It is comforting and it is helpful and healing.
What would you say to somebody who's maybe right now struggling with depression? What can they do maybe as a first step?
Yeah, I think the biggest thing for me was just having that humility to listen to God and listen and know what really needed to be corrected in thought. And I don't know if this sounds harsh or not, but I realized that depression and just sort of that sense of feeling left out, FOMO, fear of missing out, it's actually very selfish because what we can be doing instead of feeling left out, we can be actively participating by loving others and praying to support the world, praying to support whatever we're seeing in our experience. And that's sort of the opposite of just being absorbed in ourselves.
I really love that point. And, you know, I think that we've all had moments when we've kind of felt like, well, the last thing that I want to do is love because these other people aren't loving me. But I feel like the thing that I'm taking from what you're sharing is, well, it may take a little to get over that hump. Once you do it, you realize that in expressing love, you're feeling loved. Mm-hmm. I mean, those two things have to go together. You can't express love without feeling love because love is flowing through you.
Yeah.
So in doing that in your life now, how have things changed?
I feel like it's just been a lot easier to just be wherever I need to be and to feel included in things. And if I could share just like a quick experience.
Of course, we'd love to hear it.
So a few weeks ago, I was at work and everyone in the department was like busily preparing for an activity that was coming up, but I wasn't really involved in it. And I was like, oh, I kind of wish I was involved. Like, I feel like, you know, I wish I could be contributing more to this. And I was just going to sit there and do my work and put my headphones on and ignore it. And I said, you know what? I can support this. Like, I can pray to support this activity and this project. And so I did. And I just got so caught up in praying about it that I just had so much fun doing it. And it was really exciting. And I was like, I'm involved. Like, you know, this is so important. And I know it's a small experience, but just kind of left the day feeling like glowing. I just felt glowing afterwards. And yeah, so I think just, you know, remembering that we can always pray and we can always love and support, like, that's so powerful.
There is that Christian Science hymn that says, share thy joy and spend it freely.
Oh, yeah.
And that's what I'm thinking about as you're sharing that. And also, how fitting that your name is Joy. Anything else that you want to share before we close?
I have a quote about redemption that I wanted to share.
Sure.
So this is from Science and Health. Mary Baker Eddy writes, "The pardon of divine mercy is the destruction of error. If men understood their real spiritual source to be all blessedness, they would struggle for recourse to the spiritual and be at peace. But the deeper the error into which mortal mind is plunged, the more intense the opposition to spirituality, till error yields to truth." And that's the end of the quote. And I like that because it's what I mentioned earlier. It's our turn to spirit, to love, that heals unrest in our thought. It's not something that we have to humanly do through human will.
And we can all do it.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah.
Joy, it's really been wonderful hearing about your healing today. And I think that the thing that I'm really left with is the fact that for many, mental health issues, even if they get help with them, they sort of continue to be something that they have to manage for the rest of their lives. And yet, you're completely free, and it's because of God. Thank you so much for being here today and sharing with us.
Thank you for having me.
I've been speaking with Rebecca Joy Clower. She's from Westboro, Massachusetts. And thanks for listening to Sentinel Watch, a weekly production of the Christian Science Sentinel. I'm Jenny Sawyer. The podcast is produced by Carlos Machado, Sophie Ungerleiter, and our executive producer, Amy Richmond. Our editor is Ethel Baker. Our audio engineers are Tim Malone, Noel Flatt, Alyssa Britton, and Ian Case. Our theme music is by Jonah Bobo.
This podcast is produced and copyrighted by the Christian Science Publishing Society.